This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder. It's great to be with you. And on today's episode, I am blessed to be joined by two wonderful individuals. First is Father John Grigas. Father Grigas is the rector of Marytown, which is the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And it is great to have him with us. And also we have Moria Noonan. Moria is a former New Age and occult practitioner, now a Catholic revert. And she has authored two books, Ransomed from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith, and The Battle for Souls, and also Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture. It is so great to have both of you here with me on WSFI Spotlight. Thank you both for joining me.
You're quite welcome. Good to be with you and our listeners.
So on today's program, we're going to talk about Halloween. And I want to maybe just jump in and ask you a little bit about the history of Halloween and where it comes from.
Halloween comes from the pre-Christian Celtic Irish feast associated with the Celtic New Year, which took place on November the 1st. Now, November 1st, as you know, is the beginning of fall. It's way into fall. And the leaves go down, and the sun goes down, and so on. And so it was believed back then that the god of the dead, known as Samhain, was winning over the god of the light. And so he was emerging, especially during that time, and it happened to be the New Year's for them. And it was believed that all the souls that have died and were wicked occupied animal bodies, but during that time he brought them back and allowed them to come back to their families, but they still came back in their animal forms and so on. And as a result, part of the way of trying to ward yourself off from being affected by these evil spirits was to take on the costumes of these animal bodies, which we have now as a semblance of and as various costumes for Halloween, and also as a way of disguising yourself so that they wouldn't recognize you. They would think that you're one of them. But in case it did not work, then you wanted to leave some kind of a treat of food or something for them. And if they were pleased with that, then they would not trick you. This is where we get trick-or-treat from, basically. So its origin is in the pagan rituals of the Druids, the pagan priest of Scotland, Ireland, Brittany, northern France, and so on. It came to the U.S. in the 1840s when the Irish moved to the U.S. after the potato epidemic, and they kind of brought those customs with them. Now, the church tried to kind of ward itself off from it. Gregory the Third, back in 741, transformed or affiliated the Feast of All Saints from May 13 to November 1st, so that the Christian church would begin to celebrate this as All Saints Day instead of celebrating as the Druid Day of the Dead of Samhain. And they call it the Eve of the All Saints, December 31st, they call it the All Hallows. And the Eve was the Eve of All Hallows. This is where we get Halloween. So Hallow meaning holy. So originally the term signifies the holy. Unfortunately, this pagan custom, which has continued and filtered into the culture now, which is not associated with paganism, it's just fun for kids and things like that. But still, its origins is within the Druid pagan religion that has animal sacrifices, belief in gods and goddesses and all that kind of stuff.
As well as Wicca, too, right?
Yes.
Rather, they believe in Wicca. So
right.
A lot of people think, and a lot of parents ask me, and young people say, well, I'm doing white Wicca. That's okay, isn't it? Well, quite honestly, there really isn't any differentiation. Witchcraft's witchcraft. And according to Father Gabriel Amorth, exorcist for International Society from Rome, that all witchcraft is signature of Satan, including what's called Wicca.
In and of itself, I know it's a time for fun for kids and things like that, and kids and the parents don't associate with anything evil. It's just that its origins are not good. There's some dangers associated with it. St. Paul in Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the futile works of darkness, but expose them by contrast, for anything exposed by the light will be illuminated. and anything that's illuminated turns into light. So I think the creative thing to do would be to really go back and celebrating this as the Feast of All Saints. It follows November 2nd for All Souls, in which we pray for there. But if we were to exalt the saints during that time, it would be much better. But unfortunately, it's filtered into even our Catholic schools and churches. And again, it's in a sense, it's fun, but there are some terrifying things. I mean, it is associated with evil. It is associated with terror. You've got skulls coming in. The Samhain originally was the Green Reaper, and so you see the skulls and sickle always being represented, then Dracula, and so it's an edification of evil, of horror, of scary things, and it can have psychological impact upon these kids, even in ways that they don't even note, and what impact it has directly in terms of the devil, that continues to remain a mystery. Yet its origin are not certain, are not good. So why dabble with that? Why have anything to do with that? Why not dispose of it completely and celebrate it as a Christian feast?
Father, what about people who state that this is an innocent cultural thing? My kids are just having fun. A lot of times we see that Catholic schools have Halloween parties, they have all kinds of things. So what, or how do we respond to that cultural thing that says, or parent or whoever that says, this is just an innocent cultural thing, it's about putting on a mask and having myself a Milky Way bar?
Well, it's just that its origin are not so innocent. The origins have to do with evil, it has to do with pagan deities. And so why deal with that? Why take a chance on reinstating the origins of it? The intent could be good, but you know, a lot of people suffer because of good intent. Good intent does not necessarily protect you or lead to good necessarily. A lot of people are affected by evil even though they don't intend to. People, kids listen to hard rock music, they dabble in Ouija boards and all kinds of stuff, and they don't intend anything to evil come upon them, but they do get infected by it, and they turn away from religion as a result, and exposes them more to dabble into magic and all kinds of things. So why take the chance, even if your intent is correct?
Not only that, once the holiday's over, you've noticed the percentage of youth that are completely fascinated with black magic, sorcery, witchcraft, whatever. They've been dressing up as a little girl witch for years in Halloween. Now all of a sudden they're really fascinated with it. There has been just a proliferation of more websites for young women practicing what they consider called white witchcraft. The percentage of bookstores carrying the products on Wiccan books and neo-paganism. So it's very, very popular, and you have to take a look the really what's going on here. So Wicca is really, according to the dictionary, a polytheistic neo-pagan nature religion inspired by various pre-Christian Western European beliefs, whose central deity is a mother goddess, and which includes the use of herbals, magic, and benign witchcraft. That's what they believe. So what's the power behind the practice is the question that you're looking at. Where does it come from? It tells you really clearly in the catechism and in scripture to not be a sorceress, not to follow sorcery, to be aware of all sorcery and idolatry, that it casting spells, for example. They think, well, you can cast good spells on people to get them to do what you really want them to do. If you're using any kind of magic spells, hexes, spells, magic, it's always the signature of the devil, according to the exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth.
Even a term, trick-or-treat, kids run a trick-or-treat, well, it's innocent. They basically means give me some candy, but the term itself, trick or treat, means I will put a curse on you if you don't give me some reward. That's what really it means. That's where it comes from in the original Druid pagan religion. So that term itself has nothing to do with our Christian faith. It comes from pagan religion. Even though nothing is intended behind it, still you're repeating the same words that were repeated a couple thousand years ago that were malicious and were evil.
And I want to ask you both about the fact that this does seem to glorify, as you kind of mentioned, Father, earlier, horror and evil and death versus the things that All Saints Day and that the Church glorify, which is eternal life. And
right.
So what is the danger of glorifying horror and evil, even if it is seemingly harmless. What, and there's many examples of it. There's Glenda the Good Witch, and you have Casper the Friendly Ghost in society here. They're cartoons. They seem to be very non-threatening, but yet they do glorify something that isn't what we practice and teach as Catholics. So what's the danger of that, and what are the results of us glorifying this throughout the years?
I think there's a spectrum of its effects. So at the most innocent level, it desensitizes kids towards horror, towards evil, towards demonic elements and those kind of stuff. It desensitizes them so that they don't think anything of it. They watch it on television, horror movies and killing movies, all kinds of stuff, and they don't think anything of it. In a sense, people should react with that with a sense of force against the violence that promote good. So at the lowest level, it desensitizes them, but once you're desensitized, then you're opened towards more of the same kind, and this is where it goes up the spectrum, where kids can then actually dabble in Ouija boards, dabble in black magic, dabble in video games that promote the demonic and hexes and curses and all kinds of stuff, and that can directly lead towards diabolical infestation and at the worst end even possession.
We already have proof of that through the tremendous amount of students across America that are murdered in cold blood by their classmates all over the country. The statistics are huge in our culture today of young people killing young people. And also the police departments of many towns and cities in America, they have actual occult experts on staff. They have some of their officers are trained specifically in understanding occult and satanic rituals because they specialize in that field that's needed in their towns and cities in America now.
And a lot of it is curiosity. These kids become curious. Oh, magic, what's behind it? Spells, wow, maybe I can get that same power and things right. like that. So curiosity might lead them into something worse and actually get infected by something that is demonic, that is evil, and turn them away from our faith and all that is good within our faith and culture.
It's very popular now in the media to promote these things. I was just on the flight over here to Chicago, and sure enough, the Airlines magazine had four pages on how to book your tour for during this month of October to go to the ghost cemetery tours of ghosts. You can actually go and learn about how to book a tour and learn about voodoo rituals and how they bury their dead, and you can sit in their graveyards, and how to book a psychic medium so that you can get in touch with your dead relatives. These are things that are advertised in the publications, regular secular journals, magazines, so that people can now get into the dark side, the supernatural occult side of the mystique of the supernatural. From what side is that from? Those are fallen angels, right, Father?
Absolutely. So if you don't have the protection of the faith, if children are not grounded in the solid Catholic Christian faith, they're not rooted in the sacraments and prayer, then they're going to be open towards that. And especially if there's no example among the parents, if it's not practiced, then they will follow something. And curiosity is a big reason why kids want to. They're fascinated with novelty. Their brains are searching for something, for meaning, and things that promise them power, that promises them control, are the things that they gravitate to. And yet our faith is the opposite. Our faith is based upon surrendering our control by faith to God, who loves us and who actually takes care of us as a loving Father. Then we feel His power and His strength and His protection over us. Whereas this seeking of one's own self-control is a self-oriented type of a focus that is mistaken. This is what the devil wants. It's rooted in pride, which is what he wanted ultimately to be like God.
We're just having a wonderful conversation here with Father John Grikas and Moria Noonan, all about Halloween and all about just the culture that we're living in today, and about the evil that it stems out of, the history the source of this being a glorification of horror and evil and death, but we do have to take a short break here on WSFI Spotlight. We'll be right back after this to talk more with both Maura and Father John.
This is Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Radio in Irondale, Alabama. It is such a great way to learn more about the faith by listening to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. You can join us for information about what's going on in Catholic news, ways to understand the faith better, and ways to become evangelists yourself. So please continue to listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIRadio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guests are Father John Gricas, who is the rector of Marytown, the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe here in Libertyville, Illinois. And I also have Maria Noonan with me, and she is a former occult and New Age practitioner, authored two wonderful books, Ransom from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith, and The Battle for Souls, and also Spiritual Deceptions in the Church and the Culture. We are talking about Halloween and all the different dangers that it presents, spiritual dangers, and also some emotional, psychological dangers, especially to children. And I want to open with a quote to kind of sum up our first half and also lead us into the second half from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And this is quoted from 21:16. And it says, "All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future, consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, phenomena, or clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums. All conceal a desire for power over time, history, and, in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as wish to conciliate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear we owe to God alone." And so that definitely sums up our conversation from the first half and is a great entree into the second. I want to just ask about some of the happenings that happen on October 31st, Halloween, as part of the culture. Some of the maybe different statistics people haven't heard about.
It's a fact that the eve of Hallows or Halloween, December 31st, is the big feast day for Satanists. This is when they gather in covens, typically in abandoned cemeteries in forest, and they will have a bonfire around which they would dance to the wicked gods. And they'll have sexual orgies, and they'll have sacrifices. The sacrifices can consist of animal sacrifices, can even consist of human sacrifices. That's why if you look at statistics and police reports, a lot of missing children tend to be predominantly missing during Halloween, because that's when they can get abducted and you never see them again. And they've shown remains of that. I remember in the beginning of my formation, I was around Appleton, and there was a cemetery close to a Catholic retreat center down by Fox River, and I would go down to take a walk, and I would see like abandoned altars with skeletons and with remains of rabbits and cats and different things, and you know that they were offered by Satanists. And so this is their big feast day. They associate the Halloween, which is innocently played up with in our Catholic Church and in the schools and everywhere, but for them it's a big feast day. So we're celebrating this supposed innocent, fun-loving Halloween on the big feast day of the Satanists themselves, which I think the association is not very good in itself.
Exactly. It's pretty serious what's going on. And the what happens is with the youth especially, that they go from the curiosity level and involving this to becoming actually full-blown into Wiccan covens, and they think that's okay, that's innocent. They even believe that they can be Christian Wiccans, and it's quite interesting when you realize that one of the publishers for this book called Teen Witch, Wicca for a New Generation, by Silver Ravenwolf. It's like one of the most popular books for the youth in this subject matter. And the publisher said it's the best-selling book. It sold more books than its 95-year history of publishing books on these subjects, that from everything from learning how to do the craft to getting better, doing spells for your homework, spells on your school teachers, spells on boyfriends and girlfriends to date them. So how to have control. Here's what this publisher said, or the author has said. When you were growing up and going through the adolescent stage, you just want to be able to have more control and power over your own life. Wicca does that in a sense. It makes you believe that you can have power over over people and places in your environment and control each other. That ending part I've summarized. So it's really quite a tool for power and control. And they saw that they started out with maybe Harry Potter when they were 7 or 8, and now they've gone into other levels of how to receive that power through full-blown books on teaching them how to do the craft.
And it's false power, because, yes, in the beginning, the devil will give you power, and it is very real. And Mara can testify to that, because in the occult practices she had that. But eventually it leads Satan to have power over the human person. And the ultimate is full-blown possession, where the devil has power over all of the functions of the body, and a person is basically enslaved within. Sometimes that's the biggest hope. Sometimes that's the biggest hope of delivery, when a person realizes that they have lost power, that in the name of gaining power, they have given power to the satanic entity, and what they have done is wrong, that the time for conversion happens and the time for salvation. And that's where the recourse to the church needs to be really had when that happens.
So we should just be bluntly clear here, Father, that when you are messing with these powers, you are messing with Satan himself.
Absolutely. And it goes back to original sin. Look what Satan promised Adam and Eve. You will be like gods. You will know good and evil. And that was the invitation. You will have something that you are denied. God is denying you something that is good in the guise of evil. And you will be like gods. You will be like him, and entice them to have this power. And ultimately, that power was the evil that enslaved them and made them powerless. The goodness of God and the greatness of God is what empowered them to be children of God with the fullness of the grace of the Holy Spirit, whereas the evil one takes all that away and enslaves them to the power of darkness, takes away their freedom, and takes away their ability to function and everything else.
So several passages in Scripture about forbidden of witchcraft, and I want to also say very clearly, especially for parents of youth that might be listening, or for any youth that are listening, that there is always payback when you open the door to the supernatural power of the fallen angels and the demons. Father can explain what that means in a minute.
Well, the payback in a sense is that, again, you suffer their control over you. They have no love for you. It is only God who is the God of love. They want to overpower you. They want to control you. This is how the hierarchy of demons in hell function. They don't function by loving each other. They function by higher entities having power over lower entities and subverting to each other. And of course, the one who's the greatest of all is Satan himself, who wants to be like God. But it's the opposite of what God is in his goodness and his love and his mercy. Evil is really evil. It's terrible.
I want to maybe shift the focus. We've spent a lot of time talking on Halloween and all of the evils and all the dangers of this, and we've done a great job highlighting that. But what do we do now? What do we do to help shift the focus back on Christ and his love and the saints, and the solemnity of All Saints Day that we celebrate, and the Feast of All Souls Day that we celebrate on November 2nd. These are two incredible feast days that the church celebrates that often get lost because of the secular holiday. So how do we shift the focus? What are some of the tips and advice we can give pastors, parishes, priests, parents, and children to shift that focus?
Well, I think go back to the church. As we said earlier, Pope Gregory III in 741 transferred the Feast of All Saints to November 1st precisely to counteract this Druid feast day that began to gain great popularity in the Irish-Britannic circles, which had a great influence over Christendom, quite obviously. So, that was to shift the focus in honoring our heroes of the faith who lived heroically for God and believing in Him and His service and of love. And perhaps we can have the kids in a school dress up as saints, choose some favorite saints, especially young child saints. Like right now here close to Chicago, St. Mary Goretti's relics are being shown, and thousands of people are coming. St. Dominic Savio, people, you know, let them dress up in the favorite saints, put on the costumes, and let them learn about the stories and the lives of the saints, and then have a kind of a play in which they talk about, I am St. Mira Goretti, and this is what I've done, blah, blah, blah. And I think it'd be a wonderful way to reintroduce our saints and celebrate that feast day of all saints, bring to mind those heroes of our faith of which the children are no longer aware of, so that they can emulate them in a good way and absorb the gospel and a teaching of the church and grow in holiness, which is really the intent of church for young people, for all people. So I think to bring it back to its original designs and to highlight not ghosts and demons, but to highlight the saints of the church so that we may be like them who imitated Christ himself is what needs to be done. And there are creative ways that can be done. You can have play acts. You can have the kids learn about the different saints. You can have take them role of the saints and perform that role in front of others. You can celebrate a mass in a very special way in honor of that. There's so many creative ways that you can do it.
There really are. I saw some really fantastic ways when I was visiting Phoenix, and the Catholic school families put together a saints festival on Halloween Eve, All Hallows Eve, and they have the youth all dress up as saints, and they actually do have a play. They have skits that the youth have made themselves. They read about, they announce what saint they have dressed as. They read little history of that saint, and they give out holy cards of that saint. So they're trading holy cards with each other, and then they're also getting, for best costume and best this and that, they're getting really nice door prizes. They're plus, as well as the candy and the goodies and all the other goody stuff they want to eat. But they're also getting videos and books and CDs and things that give them pictures and things of their saints to remind them that we're in the communion of saints. I think that's the biggest thing, because a lot of youth feel alone, feel alienated, feel scared. They want to know that they're really on this pilgrimage called life, and they're going to be receiving the grace of God through the communion of saints as well. And so why not? No, I've never met a youth yet that didn't want, for example, a blessed holy card of Archangel Michael, a blessed miraculous medal of Our Lady. They didn't have information to how to have a prayer partner. They feel alone. I said, you never have to be alone. You have a guardian angel and you have a saint. Just pick one that you want to be your prayer partner. We're in the communion of saints. Why not emphasize that? We are people set aside. Youth especially, they're spiritually bent. Give them a good spirituality. Give them something that gives them the grace to follow the truth instead of something that leads them into the supernatural power of the fallen angels. Lead them into the heavenly realms through the saints.
And the kids love to receive those things. I mean, I'm in my 60s already, and I still have my first Holy Communion card, and I treasure it. I was so proud when I received it. And to give out blessed medals of the saints, different things, they absolutely love that. But if anybody's interested in what to do, and if you're close to Marytown, Libertyville, on November the 1st, Feast of All Saints, Father Anthony Jelinek, who heads our family ministries, who actually at 4 o'clock on Sunday will have a celebration of the saints in which kids and whole families will dress up as saints, and they will basically offer their rendition in our chapel of adoration, who they are, and talk about the saints, and then have a benediction service. So come out to Marytown November 1st at 4 o'clock, and you'll have a chance to see how we can celebrate the Feast of All Saints as it was meant to be.
Father and Moira, thank you so much for joining me here today on WSFI Spotlight. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's episode, but I would like to encourage you to visit Moira's website, which is www.spiritbattleforsouls.org, and also to check out marytown.com. Once again, this has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Thank you and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.